Another Cessna driver is intercepted near Washington, D.C. Two Pipers collided in midair on the way to Oshkosh. And there's now a fatality in last week's crash of a skydiving flight. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, August 10th, 2010. It's happened again. NORAD sent a U.S. Coast Guard helicopter to intercept a Cessna 172 that strayed into restricted airspace near Washington, D.C. at about 5:38 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturday. The pilot of the Cessna was not in radio communication and shortly after intercept landed without incident at Potomac Airfield, Fort Washington, Maryland, for the inevitable pilot interview. The helicopter was sent from Ronald Reagan Washington National Airport in Arlington, Virginia. The National Transportation Safety Board has issued a preliminary report regarding a mid-air collision between two Piper aircraft inbound for Oshkosh via the Fisk VFR arrival about 12:15 p.m. local time July 27th. It looks like about 2 miles east of Ripon, the pilots of a PA-32 and a PA-11 were both at 1,800 AGL, unaware of each other. The pilot of the 32 reports he heard a soft thud that apparently was his left main gear tire hitting the PA-11. After touching down at Oshkosh, he was unable to maintain directional control and ran off the left side of the runway. Damage to the left tire was then discovered. The PA-11 pilot reported a vibration after the collision, but continued on and landed on runway 9 without incident, after which damage was found on one propeller blade. You know, I think unless I can get there a couple days early, I'll drive, thank you. A Cessna 185 being used to carry skydivers went down last week shortly after takeoff, resulting in serious injuries to all five jumpers and the pilot. Sadly, ANN has learned that one of the jumpers on board has succumbed to his injuries. 53-year-old jumpmaster Thomas Toma Medbury of Akron, Ohio, died Friday at Erie County Medical Center after suffering extensive head, neck, and spinal injuries. Initial reports indicate an open door may have been a factor leading to the impact with trees shortly after takeoff. You can find the NTSB prelim in the text version of this story, dated August 9th, at aero-news.net. Up next on ANN, the D-Jet is pushed back another year. Some of those big airliner orders out of Dubai are being canceled. And NASA opens the door to more NanoSat projects. You're listening to Aero News.
This AeroCast segment is sponsored by ForeFlight, makers of ForeFlight Mobile HD, the elegantly designed iPad and iPhone app for pilots. Learn more about ForeFlight's new touch-based flight planning capability. Build complex flight plans and bend routes around weather in just seconds using only your fingers. With HD NexRad, VFR and IFR charts, terminal procedures, a comprehensive AFD, and now touch planning. Visit us online at www.foreflight.com. ForeFlight. Intelligent apps for pilots.
Piperjet.
Pipersport.
Pipermatch.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/piperaircraft.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 10th. I'm Paul Platt. Anonymous sources within Diamond Aircraft Industries have told FlightGlobal.com that power plant and de-icing system changes will now likely push the D-Jet's introduction into service into 2012. The major changes include the decision to upgrade the power plant from the Williams FJ3315 engine to the 5A version, and the need to replace the TKS Weeping Wing system with inflatable de-ice boots to satisfy the FAA. Stepped-up flight test activity is expected in the next few months, and one of the sources tells Flight Global that Diamond still expects to beat the Cirrus SF-50, HondaJet, and PiperJet to market. Dubai has been on an airliner buying binge the last few years, and there are now signs it may be tapering off. Boeing announced on Thursday it lost a total of 25 orders last week, 15 for the Dreamliner, 10 more for the 777, and the Wall Street Journal reports insiders say some of those are from DAE Capital, the state-controlled Dubai leasing company. Airbus, meanwhile, reports the cancellation of 41 orders, including 25 from Dubai Aerospace Industries. Analysts say the global credit crunch is forcing DAE to slow its growth. NASA has announced a second opportunity for small satellite payloads to fly on rockets planned in 2011 and 2012. CubeSats are a class of research spacecraft called nanosatellites. The cube-shaped satellites are about 4 inches long, have a volume of about a quart, and weigh less than a kilogram, or 2.2 pounds. CubeSat investigations should be consistent with NASA's strategic plan or the Education Strategic Coordination Framework. The research should address aspects of space, exploration, technology development, education, or operations. Applicants must submit proposals electronically by November 15th. NASA will select the payloads by the end of January, but selection does not guarantee a launch opportunity. Collaborators may be required to provide partial reimbursement of about $30,000 per CubeSat. NASA will not provide funding for development. NASA recently announced the results from the first round of the CubeSat launch initiative. 12 payloads have made the shortlist for launch opportunities in 2011 and 2012. Still ahead, Laura Bush will honor 9/11 heroes. Constellation will soon be gone, but the pork lives on. And sometimes, you really should just change your name. You're listening to Aero News.
The Waco YMF-5D is an open cockpit sport biplane that embodies the golden age of aviation in a new production aircraft. The evolution of the new D model Waco incorporates many new features and upgrades, delivering greater performance than ever before, but with more horsepower and lower aircraft weight. Your new Waco is completely customized to your exact specifications, including your choice of avionics. Own and live the dream yourself with the new Waco YMF-5D. Check out the dream at www.wacoclassic.com.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, August 10th. I'm Paul Plack. Former First Lady Laura Bush will serve as the keynote speaker at a ceremony on September 11th, honoring the 40 heroes of United Flight 93 on the 9th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks, while fighting to resist a takeover of their flight by terrorists targeting the nation's capital. The passengers and crew members lost their lives when their plane crashed in a field near Shanksville, Pennsylvania. The ceremony will be held at the Western Overlook at the Flight 93 National Memorial. Mrs. Bush notes, quote, "I am proud to be a part of the ceremony and public gathering in Shanksville on September 11 to commemorate the courageous acts of those on board Flight 93. We must never forget the brave sacrifice of these extraordinary men and women," unquote. Gordon Felt, president of Families of Flight 93, remarked, quote, "Mrs. Bush was with us shortly after the attacks of September 11. In the midst of our shock and grief, she shared with us her calming presence and genuine compassion. We will always have a special place in our hearts for her," unquote. The U.S. Senate Thursday night passed a bill favored by lawmakers from states which benefit from NASA spending, defying the Obama administration's plans to shift some space services to the private sector. As might be expected from folks who lack the background to understand what they're buying, the new bill orders NASA to build a heavy-lift rocket and capsule capable of reaching the International Space Station by 2016, using contractors from the canceled Constellation program, but not providing enough money to actually succeed. Senator Kay Bailey Hutchison of Texas commented in a statement last week, quote, "Senate passage of this comprehensive legislation is a critical milestone that will boost America's human spaceflight program," unquote. And finally today, in the story of the proposed acquisition of ExpressJet by Atlantic Southeast Airlines, there's a new twist. A law firm says it's launched an investigation into possible breaches of fiduciary duty in connection with the proposed acquisition of ExpressJet by Atlantic Southeast Airlines, focused on whether the ExpressJet Board of Directors breached their fiduciary duties to ExpressJet shareholders and whether the proposed deal provides adequate value to the company's shareholders, unquote. The press release calls on holders of ExpressJet stock to contact the firm to discuss your legal rights and claims to be, quote, "a New York City-based law firm with significant experience representing investors in merger-related shareholder class actions, shareholder derivative actions, and securities fraud class actions," unquote. The press release has the ring of those late-night mesothelioma commercials, or call now if you've been injured by a big rig. But we'll watch to see if anything comes of the trolling. The law firm's name, by the way, is Bolin Lifshitz LLP. And no, I did not make that part up. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Popular Rotorcraft Association Vice President Tim O'Connor talks about the 48th Annual Convention and Fly-In, which saw a gathering of ultralights and rotorcraft much larger than anything at Oshkosh. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plath. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.